there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
And I still argue I do not do namby-pamby interviews.
Well, that discussion was about when you asked Sean McVay if they throw it to Cooper Kupp too
much. Tough question.
It was a stupid question.
It was tough.
Yeah, tough on you. Made you look bad.
It's tough on me.
Yeah, exactly.
So things you wish you knew earlier in life. Ireland,
okay, so you want me to tell you the one that made me look really stupid?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, well, I'll be curious if Greg and Taylor will know. Mace, you'll know right away why this is stupid. I'm curious if Greg and Taylor will know. So a few years ago, we put together a trip to Italy. Lisa's Italian. That's her favorite place to go. We've been a couple of times.
Yep.
But we had never been to Venice. And so on this particular trip, we were going to Venice.
Yep.
And I normally, because I'm a type A personality, and it sounds like Juan is like this too, I have to arrange all the details for any trip we take.
Correct. Yeah, Juan does that for us.
I don't sleep right if I don't know that everything isn't in order.
Right.
So in this particular trip, since it was Italy, I said, okay, you put the trip together. I'll just go along. You know, just tell me when we're leaving. So, of course, because I'm type A, a week before we're leaving, I said, hey, show me the itinerary. And she sends it to me. And I look it over and I go, hey, this all looks great, but you made a big mistake. You didn't rent a car in Venice. And she looks at me and goes, why do you think that is? Now, Greg, do you know why that's a stupid thing for me to say?
Yes, I've been to Venice. It's all canals. There is,
yeah, there it is all no canals. Cars. There are no cars in,
yes,
Venice.
Right.
But I, to use your J.R. Smith example, Taylor, did you know that, by the way?
No cars in Venice?
No cars.
Yeah, makes sense. Everybody travels, yeah, by boat.
Right. It's all boats. So I just, if for whatever reason, it was a cultural blind spot. So I think, Mace, you might be right. I think J.R. Smith was a good athlete growing up. When you're in middle school and high school, the administrators tend to take care of the star athletes. He never went to college. He came straight to the NBA. I think there's a chance he was never asked or told to take algebra and therefore has no idea it,
yeah,
exists. I just, for whatever reason, never thought that there could be a city where there were no cars.
No cars, exactly.
But they, Lisa, just, and by the way, because she likes to yank my chain,
yep,
she just let it drag on. She goes, why do you think I did that? And I go, I don't know, but let's rent a car. She goes, yeah, you go do that. And I went, why are you? She goes, get on the phone. See if you can find a car,
yeah,
rental agency.
Yeah, the Avis
in
office
Venice.
In Venice is very slow.
And so I actually went down that rabbit hole, Googled where can I rent a car in Venice? And then it popped up 25 links. You don't need a car. The whole town runs on boats. So that's why I think there's a chance J.R. Smith just never had to take or was inclined to take algebra and doesn't know what it is.
So I've got some dumb ones, things I wish I knew when I was younger.
Right.
I just ate an avocado. I didn't realize when I was younger you could just eat an avocado. I eat an avocado every single day, just a plain avocado. It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
You got to put salt on it.
I do put salt. I've got the salt and the empty skins right in front of me. I didn't know when I was younger that you could put hot sauce on everything and it would be good. Never really used hot sauce, Tabasco, any of those. What is it? Chula? Something.
Cholula.
There you go. Now I put Cholula on everything. I wish I knew that Jared Goff was a bust when I was younger.
Well, I remember I made that argument, and then when he took him to the Super Bowl, I said, well, I guess I was wrong. Turns out I was right.
In fairness to Jared Goff, he did have a couple of good years and then just declined. But getting to the Super Bowl was a big deal. But, yeah, he was a bust, no question.
By the way, if Matt Stafford is bad Stafford this weekend, does that mean it was a bad trade?
If Matt Stafford blows up this weekend and the Rams lose in the first round to Arizona?
Yeah. can then we, based on that alone, can we say bad trade?
100%.
You don't want to give him another chance? He did put up a bunch of yards this year.
100%. They got him to go for it. They got him because they were going all in. They gave up, and I know Lesney doesn't care about draft picks. F draft picks.
F your picks.
The coffee cup. But he did give up a bunch of them and moved heaven and earth to get Matthew Stafford. If he doesn't get us out of the first round, I'm sorry. That was a bad deal. What don't you think?
If he doesn't make
he's
it out
never
of the
won
first,
a playoff game.
Right.
He was in one when he was in Detroit.
I think it's too small of a sample size to say Matthew Stafford is a failure. I think you've got to let him have at least one more year. I mean, you're boiling it down to one bad game. Their offense was really good this year.
But you're your premise is he blows up.
Right.
They lose the game because of Matthew
Stafford. Because he throws three interceptions.
Yeah. No, that's a bust. That means and people will point out he's got a whatever 3-5 record against teams with winning records this year, whatever that number is. They've beaten a lot of bad teams, which is fine. You can only beat the teams that are right in front of you. But he hasn't always played great against the great teams. I'm thinking Tennessee, and I'm thinking that whole stretch we had in the middle of the season against.
And now all the
teams
are great, because you're in the playoffs.
So if you got him to win right now, if he flames out in the first round and they lose because of him, the trade was a bust.
Okay, you have the richest owner in all professional sports. Maybe Ballmer might be richer, but definitely in the NFL.
Yeah,
you have the richest owner in the NFL, and you have a GM and a coach who have shown repeatedly that they're not afraid to cut ties. Do you go get another quarterback?
I don't think Stafford has played in 3 playoff games. You can say this on the air, Greg. You don't have to text.
Well, you guys were talking about some stuff, but yeah, Stafford's played in 3 different playoff games in 2012, 2015, and 2017, and he lost them.
He's 0-3.
0-3.
Well, you don't. Yeah, he's part of a team. So let's.
I don't know how you move Matthew Stafford. Like, I don't know how you can possibly do it. You say richest owner, but the reality is you're all playing with the same salary cap, and the Rams are right up against it like everybody else. You have to find a taker for Matthew Stafford, gigantic number.
I think you would find a taker for Matthew Stafford because so many teams need a quarterback. Look at the teams that are in the playoffs this year. Almost all of them have a great quarterback. All 14 of them. There are very few bad quarterbacks. I mean, Jalen Hurts is the maybe. But look at every other team. And, Big Ben's on the way out. But every other team has an established quarterback. So, somebody would try. Like, wouldn't they love to have Stafford in Chicago? Or
I think they love Justin Fields in Chicago. That's not a good example.
Okay, Denver.
Denver, yes.
Houston.
Houston, yes.
Miami. I think Miami's going to have to.
Think they're going to sail on Tua?
Well,
he had a really good second half of the season.
Right, but I don't know if he's like the big classic quarterback. But, I think they would not have a problem moving him. Let's not put this out on. I mean, maybe he'll have a great.
Yeah, I don't want this out in the universe. I'm trying to secret a win on Monday night.
All right.
Hang on. Let's get a couple of calls in. Things you wish you knew when you were younger. Let's go to Jacob in La Puente. Jacob, you're on 710. What's up, man?
This is Jason from La Puente. And Mr.
Hey, Jason.
Jason from La Puente.
What's up, man?
I want to say thank you to Mason for feeding us last night. Mr. Jason didn't have to cook.
The tacos showed up.
Oh, yes, perfect timing. So we appreciate you. Thank you. So the one thing I wish I knew before growing up was deductions on your paycheck. When I had my first job at 16, I was able to compute, how much I'm going to get. And I was like, man, I'm rich. I'm going to be richer than my dad. And then the paycheck showed up, and I had all these deductions, and I was devastated.
If you live in California, Jason – and let's say you get a good job and you're making $50,000 a year. The truth is, by the time all the deductions and all the taxes hit, you're making more like 25.
Yeah.
That's the cold bucket of water that you got.
Live and learn. But thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Man. All right. Thank you, Jason. Thanks. Glad you got your tacos there.
Let's go to Corey in Indiana. Hey, Corey, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Corey.
My call.
Hey, Corey. Sure.
All right, so one thing that I wish I knew, I was taking a look at a jar of pickles one day.
Yep.
And I looked at the ingredient, and it said cucumbers. So I never knew that pickles were cucumbers. So I wish I knew.
Yeah, never knew pickles were cucumbers.
Can I tell you something? I didn't know that until just now.
Oh, come on.
Come on, you're lying, please.
That's a joke. You had to know.
I swear to God.
Get out of here.
I don't know what difference it makes, but I didn't know.
It's a pickled cucumber.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like, if you would have asked me, on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, are pickles cucumbers? I would have missed it.
Wow. So apparently, you're not alone there, Corey. Ireland had no idea that pickles were cucumbers either.
I don't eat a lot of cucumbers or pickles, Corey. So maybe again, I've never had the need to know, but that's interesting.
Right.
Huh. All right. Thanks.
You put it in vinegar? Thanks.
Yeah, you put it in vinegar. You just pickle it. Exactly.
Right.
Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the call. Ireland, you had to know pickles.
I swear,
or cucumbers.
I didn't. I mean, why would I make myself look stupid? I didn't know.
You know what? I wish I knew when I was younger that you don't have to wait 30 minutes after eating to get back in the pool. You know, my mom had that hard and fast. You just ate. You have to wait 30 minutes before you get in the pool. Now we find out that was all bull all along. You can get in the pool right after you eat.
Okay.
You don't have to wait.
You know what else is bull? I probably will get in. Well, no, I won't. I don't care.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
The airlines tell you can't use your cell phone
on
the plane.
Yeah.
That's garbage.
Complete crap.
That's total garbage.
Yeah. The plane, if you use your cell phone on a plane, it's not going to interfere with the instruments on the plane. All right?
No.
Now, you may not get a signal, but sometimes you do. And if you do, I say go ahead.
Yeah, especially on charters. I mean, I've been on a couple charters. You go on charters all the time.
Yeah.
On charters, people just use their phones whenever, randomly, casually, without any regard for turn off your electronic device.
Well, you have that one great story when you were traveling with the Clippers and you wanted to get a seat for the next game, and so you tried to leave a message for Rob, the Clipper PR guy at the time.
Yeah, I sent a text while we were in the air, and I said, well, it'll get there after we land or whatever. And so I text Rob. What was his name? Rob Reichlin.
Yeah.
I sent a text. I said, hey, can you hook me up with a seat for the next game? And the text went through, and Rob just turned around and gave me a thumbs up.
Because he was sitting five rows in front of
me. He was sitting five rows in front of me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now that's totally true. I actually, the Wi-Fi on the last flight I was on was excellent. Do all flights have Wi-Fi now?
We do. Our plane does. It's good. You can't stream video on it very consistently. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can get lucky. But in terms of like sending an email and, you know, downloading, you know, regular stuff, if you're not streaming video, it works great.
Ireland, have you heard where the next national championship game for college football is going to be?
Well, it can't be any worse than Indiana.
I'll tell you where it is coming up next, and it's a good sign for the USC Trojans. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's soon going to be Wing Wednesday. I don't know when it's going to start. Maybe next week. Next week we'll start Wing Wednesday. Brand new thing we own the rights to. Can we trademark that? Yes.
No.
So
but go ahead. Put it out there.
I'm going to say trademark huge.
And then when are we doing the smack off?
We're doing a smack off this week. So do you know where the College Football National Championship is next year?
Well, I hope it's this year. It was at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. I thought that was terrible. Why would you have your celebratory event, the crowning of your national champion, something you want to make a really big deal out of and have everyone from the history of your sport kind of come together? Why would you stick that in Indiana? Was Miami, San Diego, and L.A. all booked, or even New Orleans? I mean, it just seems to me that I would championship games you should rotate between L.A., San Diego, New Orleans, and Miami. That's what I say.
Don't you think we should spread the wealth around? Like, shouldn't Indiana get something?
In those four cities. That's it.
Spread the wealth between those four cities.
Yes. Come on, it's December or January. You don't want to be freezing your you-know-whats off.
So you know what the where it's going to be? It's going to be at SoFi Stadium.
It should be.
Yeah, SoFi Stadium next year, yeah. College football national championship
great,
game.
Great choice.
So here's my question. So I am really excited about Lincoln Riley. Really excited about Lincoln Riley. And now we're going to get, I mean, it's no secret that Jackson Dart transferred out. We're going to get Oklahoma quarterback Caleb Williams, who was great.
Yeah, don't have him yet, but there's no way Jackson Dart leaves unless somebody didn't tip him.
Unless he knows, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was looking at USC's recruiting, and it's 4 stars, and it's 5 stars, and it's, I mean, the 2022 recruiting class is going to be fantastic. I think I have faith in Lincoln Riley. I know that's putting, you know, I'm projecting far into the future, but I think Lincoln Riley can figure out a way to win the Pac-12 and get to the college football national championship, because frankly, the Pac-12 isn't very good.
Right, but it's very hard to do in the first year. Like, if you go back and look at everybody's first year, even Dabo, Nick Saban, all those dudes, it takes them a while to get it going. Now, all the things you said are true. They're going to be loaded. They have great recruits. But what were they this year? They were like 4-9?
Oh, yeah, coming off the worst season. I don't know if that's the worst season ever, but it's close. In my lifetime, that's the worst season.
I think you got to give him time. It would be great if he could get everything together in the first year. And you know what Pete Carroll's record was in his first year?
6-6?
Yeah. And then Lincoln Riley's not going 6-6.
No.
But he's also not going 13-1. I think a reasonable expectation for Lincoln Riley would be flirt with double-digit wins and maybe get there. If you can go 9-3, 10-2... I think that's a great year for Lincoln Riley. I don't think you should put that on him that he's got to make it.
I don't think he's got to. I just think it's like, you know.
He's getting $100 million, so they can't fire him even if he goes 4-9 again.
Yeah, no, hashtag Trojans to SoFi. How about that?
Stupid.
Hashtag USC and SoFi 2023. Actually, I don't like that one.
Yeah.
How about hashtag SoFi Trojans 2023?
How about hashtag you are an arrogant idiot? No, they're not going to make it in the first. Bergman, explain to Mason that it takes more than 5 minutes to build a college football powerhouse.
Yes, it absolutely does. But do you think they're going to have some kind of a Lincoln Riley effect because he's the coach there and because he came from Oklahoma? So, like, let's say they go 12-2. Will they be in the running for the college football playoff?
Depends.
Which they wouldn't have been with the guys they had there?
Depends where they're ranked and where everybody else is.
The big problem is
both of the teams you watched on Monday night had a loss this year.
But they're in the SEC, and this is a terrible Pac-12. So, but because of the name Lincoln Riley, if they just do decently well and lose an out-of-conference game,
their schedule,
you don't think they'll make it?
Their schedule
is easy.
Rice at Stanford, Fresno State at Oregon State. Arizona State at home, Washington State at home, at Utah, always tough, at Arizona, home to Cal, home to Colorado, at UCLA, and then they get Notre Dame at home.
Right, and all four of the teams that made the college football playoff this year had either zero or one loss. Cincinnati had zero. The other three teams had one. So that's what you need. I mean,
In the Pac-12, I think you can do it in the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 is so bad.
Right, but here's where I think it's really going to help. They're eventually going to expand that college football playoff.
Yeah, they're going to go.
It's not going to be next year, but they're going to when they go to 8 teams. I think Lincoln Riley flirts with being in it every year. But I mean, Pete Carroll is the example. Pete Carroll in his first year was 6-6. I think in his second year is when he jumped. I think he was like 10-3 in his second year. And then they won the Orange Bowl. And then they were off and running. But you can't expect Lincoln Riley to come in with a 4-9 team and make the college football playoff all in the span of 6 months. It's not realistic.
I think it's easy. I think it's easy to win in the Pac-12.
Maybe
to win in the Pac-12.
But, I mean, I can see him losing to Utah and to UCLA, and then they don't even win the Pac-12 South. Because both Utah and UCLA are in the South.
Yeah, I can't imagine Lincoln Riley's going to lose to UCLA.
Well, UCLA just beat USC.
By the way, Bergman, I want Chip Kelly. I don't want Chip Kelly. I want Chip Kelly.
You've made this whole thing.
You're the biggest flip-flopper.
Well, here's the thing. This is not what's happening. That's not what's happening.
UCLA's kids are all older, and USC's kids are all younger.
Yes.
So there's a reason UCLA beat USC worse than they've ever beaten them this year.
Well, because it was just over before it started. I mean, I even said at some point, you know, wake me up when it's 2022. I quit watching the games at some point. I could not even watch. I couldn't stomach that football.
But no, by the way, you know, you talking about not watching, you know how you and Bergman both said you had no interest in that game on Monday night?
I ended up watching the fourth quarter. It was good.
Yeah. Lowest rated college football playoff game ever.
I'm telling you, it's become, and this is where USC comes in, this is where the Pac-12 comes in. It's become just a regional sport. Like, I bet in the South it did really well. In the rest of the country, nobody cares.
It's Alabama fatigue.
It's always Alabama.
Yeah, it's SEC fatigue, Alabama fatigue. It's the same teams over and over again. You don't need to see Nick Saban every year.
Did you guys see who the number one ranked team, you know, the way too early poll, you know who the number one ranked team is next year?
Alabama.
Alabama. All those kids are going to be a year older.
Good God. Yeah, that does not spell right. It's like the idea that, big bad Alabama. No, it's just become a regional sport. It's a sport that thrives in the South. And everybody else in the country, by the time you get to the college football playoff, is like, ho-hum, Georgia, Alabama, not our conference, not our country.
By the way, UCLA is bringing DTR back this year for his fifth year, so your
offense
should stick around.
But you were not in on DTR.
And no, well, he's got teeny tiny hands. But Jerry Azzanero is gone as the defensive coordinator, and the defense was the biggest problem. So if they bring in a good defensive coordinator.
All I heard you do was complain about DTR last year. Now you're excited he's coming back.
Well, because every time he throws back the pass, I'm afraid that it's just going to pop out of his teeny tiny hands.
Yeah,
it happened so many times.
DTR was actually really good this year.
He was, especially running the ball, and he does have a pretty good arm. But again,
he's basically sacrificed his body. He got killed every other week. I can't believe you're hammering DTR.
Yeah, why are you picking on DTR? I hung out with DTR's dad's girlfriend in Costa Rica, and she was great.
Yeah,
that's the problem with your fandom right there, Mace. The fact that you choose your friends who you like based on if you've met their family.
I hung out with DTR's dad's girlfriend, and she was great, so I like DTR. She's a great kid.
He doesn't stop him from having little hands that drop the ball.
Hands, apparently. Yeah. That was always the knock on Jared Goff, too, small hands. Who in the NBA that was Eldon Campbell? No, who had small hands? Kwame Brown.
Yeah, well, he had no hands. He was actually a human being with no hands. It was unbelievable. All right, so speaking of Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I'm going on vacation like I do every year. I got time off at the NBA All-Star break.
Yes.
So we started looking at places last night. Do you ever go to Cabo?
Been to Cabo.
The thing is, everything is super expensive.
Yeah, like, go to Costa Rica. It's not.
Yeah, except I don't want to take 2 days to get down. It takes you a whole day to get there and a whole day to get back.
No, five-hour flight. It's just like going to Hawaii.
John, I was told to go to Tulum, which is near Cabo.
Tulum is supposed to be cool, too.
I was looking at Tulum. Somebody said go to a place called the Grand Solmar. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
All right, if somebody's heard of it, send me a note on Twitter.
It sounds fancy.
It's not as expensive as the places you would normally go. That's why. But I've never heard of it. So if anybody's heard of it.
Yeah, Costa Rica, man. Direct flight, 5 hours, just like going to Hawaii.
All right, I'll look into it. You flew direct to LAX to Costa Rica?
LAX to Costa Rica, yeah.
Okay.
All right, coming up next, I want to do the Lakers because Ireland, I was really discouraged watching Lakers-Memphis the other night. Very, very discouraged.
Well, you should have just watched the last 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah, the little
rally. That's when the Lakers rally. Cut a 29-point deficit down to 7.
Yeah, the little rally once it was up.
The Austin Reeves-Wayne Ellington shootout.
Yeah, I will tell you what was so discouraging about the Lakers coming up next. And by the way, we got Lakers basketball coming up for you tonight. John is in Sacramento, that beautiful garden spot of the world. And the Lakers are playing the Kings tonight. We'll have the game for you right here on 710 ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So you know what I got so much crap over from yesterday's show? Bergman, you won't believe it. Ireland, you weren't here. But yesterday I talked about coffee. And I said, coffee for me is just brown water.
Which is crazy,
text,
yes.
I got texts from two different friends about, you've got to try cold brew, or you've got to try micro brew, or whatever the hell they're talking about, or Seattle coffee, or, you know, all that. But for me, it's just brown water. Like, I can't tell the taste between one coffee and another. You can cold brew it, you can cold press it, you can micro brew it, whatever that is.
Well,
it's just brown water.
Well, you know what, and why your statement is more accurate than you think is... Like, I always, if there's a Starbucks, near the Laker Hotel here.
Right.
So, this morning, and by the way, they didn't have order ahead, which was annoying.
That is annoying.
That's a bougie thing to say, by the way. So, I walked down there, and the water at this particular Starbucks isn't great, and then you can taste it right away. If the water's bad, I don't care how good your coffee is, it's not going to be great. The water is what kind of makes it.
I never drink coffee except for 1/2 hour before the show where I chug a big gigantic cup, and I am not drinking it for the flavor. I'm drinking it for the buzz. I'm drinking it for the energy.
Okay, so why don't you just take a 5-hour energy?
Yeah, I don't like the 5-hour energy chemically. I mean, maybe they're advertisers, and I don't want to say anything bad about them.
The chemicals, you're drinking the coffee for the chemicals. You're drinking the coffee for the caffeine. You want a jolt, right?
I've never tried 5-hour energy.
Why don't you just have an espresso?
Has got less caffeine than a regular coffee.
Oh, no, it'll get you going.
100%. Espresso has less caffeine than regular brewed coffee. I've looked it up. I've studied this through my life, and espresso doesn't have as much caffeine as regular coffee. But I don't care where you get the coffee from, just brown water. I'm just going to chug it.
Okay.
On weekends, I never have a cup of coffee. For pleasure, I never have a cup of coffee. I'm just drinking it for the buzz.
Now, you mentioned you're mad at the Lakers. Why are you mad at the Lakers?
John, the one thing I expect from every team I root for is maximum effort. And I'll tell you what,
that's
in that Memphis game, I did not see maximum effort early in that game on defense. They were letting Memphis do anything they wanted. No regard to hustle, to desire, to fighting. There was no fight. There was no pass. I just didn't see it. And they got into a gigantic hole. And as you mentioned, they rallied back, late rally, whatever. But the first three quarters of that game, nothing. No fight, no defense, no nothing.
Well, their best offensive player's out in Anthony Davis. So that affects some things. But I don't think your complaint's unreasonable. I think that I will tell you this, and nobody wants to hear it. Memphis is really, really good.
Memphis is great. I mean, I looked at that game, John, and I thought, they young, we old.
That's part of it. Their average starting age of their starting lineup is 23. They have the most exciting player in the NBA right now, in Ja Morant, playing at the height of his powers. And so, based on your assessment, is it fair to say that the Warriors didn't give max effort last night when they got blown out by the Grizzlies?
Well, I didn't watch that. I literally watched no effort. That's the difference. I mean, I didn't watch the Grizzlies. I don't know how hard the Warriors played, but you could see it in a team. You're either out there diving after everything and just being mad about defense, or you're not. And the Lakers just weren't.
Well, that's what's going to – I mean, whether or not they I've said this in the beginning of the season. The two things the Lakers need to compete for a championship this year: they need all their stars healthy. So far, that hasn't happened. But Anthony Davis, thank God it wasn't worse. He should be back for the playoffs if they make them. Right now, they're in the sixth spot. And the other thing is they've got to play championship-level defense, which they've done in the 2 years that Frank Vogel's been the coach up until this year.
John, they gave up 107 points in the first three quarters.
I'll even highlight it worse. 80 in quarters two and three. 38 in the second, 42 in the third.
Yeah, come on. That's just fight. That's just Michael Thompson
always
says,
all fight.
That's pride.
You ran into the hottest team in the NBA, and you're asking LeBron to play center, and he's been unbelievable offensively, but it does affect your defense. They did end up, to your point, they ended up bringing Dwight Howard in the third quarter, and that improved things a little bit, but I think by that point the house was already on fire.
Yes.
But
and LeBron didn't play much during that last stretch either, right? He only played 33 minutes.
Yeah, but he's been. I mean, if the
Lakers, let me tell you, that game, the other thing that comes from that game, it was LeBron against the world because he was not getting a lot of help.
I was just going to go there. All right.
None of the other starters scored even double figures.
Here's LeBron's line. You say LeBron didn't do much. He was.
No. I said LeBron. It was LeBron against the world. He did.
Right. He was 14 of 19 from the field.
Yeah.
Okay. He had 35 points in 33 minutes. He also had 9 rebounds and 7 assists. LeBron has been great. His plus-minus was minus 30,
yeah,
which will tell you, to your point, Mace, how the rest of the guys did. So the rest of the starters in that game?
Yep.
I'll just read you their lines. Russ, 2 of 12. Avery Bradley, 2 of 10. Malik Monk, 3 of 13. Stanley Johnson, 1 of 4. So the other four starters shot 20%. And LeBron shot 75%. He is putting up MVP-type numbers, but he's not going to get a sniff at it if the Lakers don't win. He brought that up earlier in the week. So hopefully tonight against Sacramento, they get back on the winning track. And then, Mace, tonight is the stretch of them playing 10 out of 12 on the road.
And this is a tough stretch of this. I mean, not tonight. But the rest of that stretch is really
starting
tough.
With this game at Denver on Saturday. And Denver's going to be mad because they blew a 25-point lead to the Clippers last night and lost.
You know what's sneaky about Denver? Apparently Jamal Murray is getting close to coming back.
Yeah, and he's great. And they have Jokic.
And Jokic is just a machine.
But they're not going to get Michael Porter or P.J. Dozier back at all. So I don't think it's their year. But if they do ever get those guys back, they'll be able to compete for a title. But it's been a weird week in the NBA. You mentioned Memphis blowing the doors off the Lakers. Utah lost to Detroit.
Yeah.
Denver blows a 25-point lead to the Clippers. I mean, other than the Warriors and the Suns, nobody's really had a start-to-finish great start. Memphis is now the hottest team. They've won 10 in a row. And the weird thing about Memphis is they're doing it without Steven Adams and without Dylan Brooks, without two of their better starters. So I don't know how good they are. I mean, they're pretty young to say they're going to compete for a title this year. But look at who they're beating. They beat Phoenix in Phoenix. They've beaten Golden State twice. They've beaten the Lakers twice.
The next part of that schedule, you mentioned at Sacramento tonight, then at Denver on Saturday. Tough-ass matchup. Then home to Utah. Tough matchup. Home to Indiana. That's a winnable game. At Orlando. Should win that. At Miami. At Brooklyn. At Philly. At Charlotte. At Atlanta.
That road trip is going to tell you a lot.
Yeah, that road trip could either be we either scratch even or it could be a disaster.
Right. That's a road
trip.
Because
those teams are really good.
Yeah, that's a road trip where you gotta at least finish 500 on that road trip.
Is that all next week?
Starts next. I leave next Thursday for that trip.
Yeah, that's a rough trip.
So I'm in town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
How long do you get in New York?
We get there on a Sunday night, and we're out on a Tuesday night.
So you get a night in New York.
Yeah, except it's Monday when all the shows are closed.
But yeah, no shows.
You know, Mace, a lot of the shows are closed anyway because of COVID. Yep.
Some are closed. I was talking about that today. Some of them are hanging in there, but a lot of them have closed till March.
Yeah, and most of them don't go on Mondays. That's normally the day off. But I'll find something to do.
Here's the thing is, you should go to the duplex and sing a song at the piano bar and give me the video of it.
Oh, you said you were going to do that.
You said you were going to do it. Monday night in New York.
Yeah, the last time we were there, COVID kind of kept everybody in. So I'll investigate and report back to you guys because COVID is really it's
out of control. Everybody I know has got it. Somehow I've dodged it, but everybody I know has got it.
Yeah, I walked.
Jorge's got it. You had it. Bergman had it.
Jorge's daughter Maite has it. You know,
she's going to be fine. She's over it now.
Did you talk to him yesterday?
Yes.
When I talked to him yesterday, she had a temperature, but hopefully it came down.
Hey, Mace.
Yo.
Hey, Mace, you want to know some good news for you with all this COVID talk?
Yeah, bring it on. I want some good news.
According to Bloomberg, cannabis compounds prevent the virus that caused COVID-19 from penetrating healthy human cells,
according to a lab study. No wonder I haven't gotten it.
There you go.
I've got COVID kryptonite. I'm stoned every night.
There you go. That will, by the way, Greg, that will end all talk of him giving it up for a while. Remember?
Hell no, for sure.
Why give it up?
Absolutely. Just keep smoking, buddy.
Are you in on that? Are you taking that medicine I'm taking for COVID?
I can't. I get paranoid, man. I'm super paranoid. Yeah. It's like the worst. You don't want me on that.
Mm-mm. Okay.
You and me both.
Coming up for you at 3 o'clock, it's what else you need to know. Laura will give us something. She's been doing great while Jorge's out. Taylor and Laura have been fantastic. And also, coming up next for you, the hard-hitting.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Isn't jump ball next?
Yeah, I was going to say, the hard-hitting, fast-paced, always entertaining jump ball.
Who are you?
What do you mean?
The last
I'm trying
time
to sell it up a little bit.
I know. The last time we did it, you did nothing but give Bergman crap because he said it wasn't his A stuff.
I'm trying to pump it up. I'll judge whether it's A stuff once I hear it, but I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt
because
he says he's been working really hard at it.
Okay.
It's different from last week when I don't think he was working at it at all.
Hard is relative.
Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Key. Isn't he just the best?
He
I love having
the best.
Key there.
We love Key.
All right, so on the show this morning on KJM, they talked about Ja Morant and whether or not he could be the best player on a championship team based on his size. You guys were just talking about Ja Morant. They said Steph didn't fully count based on matchups in the finals and having KD in the last one. Isaiah Thomas was the closest in the 80s to being a short guy that could be the best player on the best team. Max and Key weren't sure. Jay Will said emphatically, yes, Ja Morant can be. So what do you guys think? Ja Morant, can he be the best player on a championship team at his size?
Well, he's 6'3". Michael Jordan was 6'6". And Ja Morant jumps higher than Jordan did even. I mean, Ja Morant has a 40-inch vertical leap. So Macy plays bigger than he is. I don't think I to answer your question, Greg, yes, he can be the best player, but he also needs Jaren Jackson to play really well. He needs Dylan Brooks. He needs the other guys, but I have no issue thinking he can be the best player.
Me either. I think he can absolutely be. I mean, we saw it in that game on Sunday. We saw the two-handed block on Avery Bradley, and we saw him make a dunk where he literally had to move his head. Otherwise, he was going to slam his head right into the rim. I mean, he is just absolutely explosive, very slippery, gets through a pile really. I think absolutely he can be the best player on a championship team.
So the movie Don't Look Up may have actually been closer to reality than we thought.
Uh-oh.
While NASA doesn't expect it to hit Earth, there will be a kilometer-wide asteroid that will fly by Earth next week on Tuesday the 18th.
Wow.
It'll be 1.2 million miles from Earth, which is the closest the asteroid will be for the next two centuries. It's supposed to fly by at 1:51 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday. And while you can't see it with the naked eye, all you need is a small telescope and you should be able to see it. Now, we'll be on the air. But will you break early at like 1:49 or 1:50 to go outside and see if you can see this asteroid fly by?
Boy, I'll tell you what, no.
Yeah, hell no. You know that DC, we've been getting these reports for 20 years that there's a giant asteroid that comes flying by.
I mean, this one's not coming that close to us, and it's daytime, and I don't have a telescope, so no. But have you seen Don't Look Up, John?
I have. It makes a good point that if there was ever anything that like was coming and it was 100% certain it was going to hit, everybody would react just the way you and I just did. I mean, we've heard it so much now. Mm-hmm. It's the boy who cried wolf. If it's going to hit us and we can't do anything about it, then, you know, what are we going to do? Mace, let's say that Don't Look Up was accurate and tomorrow we're going to all be destroyed by an asteroid.
Yes.
What could you do anyway?
Yeah, I guess I'd drive out to see my mom and burn up out there.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'm going through my entire phone list and seeing what I can do.
Oh, my God. So dumb.
Really? What? You
tomorrow?
Can do?
If it's tomorrow, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time for that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laura. All right, Laura, you're next.
Okay, so I was scrolling to Twitter, through Twitter, I'm sorry, and I saw that this woman has been stuck in lockdown in China with her blind date for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
So she's been stuck at her blind date's house for 5 days because of COVID. They had to shut down. And I was like, I don't know how I would handle that. Imagine if you didn't like your date and now you're stuck with this person that you didn't know for 5 days. How would you guys handle that?
All right. The question is, who set up the blind date? Because that person is in real trouble. You know,
yeah,
even a blind date has to be, you know, orchestrated by somebody.
Because when I get out of here, I'm coming after you.
Unless you like that person, then, you know, you got to thank them. But
I once set up a guy, a friend of mine, he works at AEG, on a blind date that went so bad. After it was over, each person involved in the date married the next person they dated.
Wow.
In other words, they had nothing in common. They each started dating somebody else and each married the second person. So I got out of the blind date business after that.
Smart choice.
I mean, if I was stuck in my apartment or my house with somebody who I didn't like, I actually did that once. I actually had an ex in my house while we were going through a process of ending things.
Oh, but that's different because it's not blind and you kind of know that person.
Right. Well, but the blind, no, Laura, you're right. That this situation you're describing could be like the worst.
Could be the worst.
Yeah.
Especially in a smaller space, like in an apartment.
Yeah.
That could be really bad. Really bad. So, yeah, I don't know what I would do. Are they actually locking people into their houses in China? Is that what? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
I know
that's
it's much
China
stricter
rolls.
Than
it's,
here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, China, they're bad. I mean, they're bad to their people. So I wouldn't surprise me if they just put a padlock on the door and locked them in. But yeah, I would have a hard time, just like I'm sure they are. Hopefully, it works out.
All right. So Laura, I just sent you something to your email. If you can get it up. That would be very appreciated.
I am so sorry. I am in Taylor's stuff.
Okay, so we'll do a different one then. So I'll do a different question. If you get into yours, just let me know when you got it. So Julian Edelman has placed a very large bet on the Super Bowl. Mm. Sorry, the big game. On the big game.
No, we're allowed to say Super Bowl.
Okay, Super Bowl. Edelman placed Edelman placed a $100,000 bet on a Brady Belichick Super Bowl, Tampa Bay versus New England. He's getting plus 4,100 odds, but the profit is capped at $545,000 since it's placed in-house with a brand-sponsored money. Is this a smart or stupid bet by Julian Edelman?
Wait a minute. So he gets plus 4,100?
Yes.
$2,000 right now in mythical money on that exact bet. So it'll pay me $9,000 if it hits?
Plus 4,100.
Or 8,200 if it hits, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm betting $2,000 on. All right, yep, I'll do it. Yep. It's probably not likely that I think Tampa Bay is going to get beat in the playoffs beforehand. But those are great odds. I'll take them.
Yeah, that's a great number, and you never know with them. I mean, I don't think they're getting to the Super Bowl. I don't think they've got the same mojo that they had last year coming out of the regular season. I don't think they're going to get, but it's worth a bet. It's worth a shot. $2,000 to win. What did you say?
$8,200.
Yeah. Mythical money. Sure. Roll with that. I'm going to make some stupid bets going into this weekend.
Can't wait for prop bets.
Mace, bet all your money on whether or not there's going to be an overtime game.
You know, there's actually a bet on that. There actually is. I'll tell you what it is coming up. There is actually a bet on that.
Do you have the sound now, Laura?
Right.
No?
Okay.
I got it. So did you see what happened with Devin Booker last night? The Suns were in Toronto and playing the Raptors, and the Raptors are not allowing fans in the arena at all right now. So we'll listen to how it all went down. So is Booker being a bit dramatic here by getting upset with the Raptor jumping around while he's shooting a free throw?
Greg, have you seen Devin Booker's new Twitter profile pic?
No, I haven't, actually.
He just changed it to a picture of the Raptor.
Oh, really?
I think you, Mace, you get away with what you can get away with. In other words, if the guy's causing a scene and Devin Booker has the juice to get him kicked, why not use it?
Yeah, well, here's the thing about it. I mean, that's part of the game, right? I mean, people get those long balloon things and they shake them to try to screw you up. And in football, they wave towels and the Raptors dancing around. That's just part of being a professional athlete, is you got to deal with those distractions and those ways that people kind of throw you off.
Or do you? Right. Apparently you don't. Devin Booker got the Raptor kicked to the corner. And now he's owning him because he's showing his picture as his new Twitter profile.
By the way, what is the official decorum on that? Is the Raptor or is a mascot allowed to dance around and try to distract somebody?
Well, the mascot's a team employee, so you do have a little bit of precedent here that you can get him tossed. But if that was a regular fan, I don't think Booker would have had any juice. But being that that Raptor works for the team, I think he just got him tossed.
I mean, there's a guy at UCLA basketball games when they allow people, and he wears like this blue hair, and he's jumping around while the other team is shooting a free throw. I don't see what the difference is here in the slightest.
Because that guy, Greg, doesn't get paid by UCLA. He doesn't work for the team. At Arizona State, they have this thing called Wall of Distraction.
Yeah.
And what they do is they put a curtain up, and then when the other team shoots a free throw, they open the curtain, and something distracting is behind the curtain, like a picture of an overweight woman in a bikini. One year, Michael Phelps, the swimmer, got behind the wall, and they opened it up, and he was there in a Speedo posing. So they do whatever they can do, but those are fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an actual team employee.
If Chuck the Duck, the Lakers are not a mascot, but if Chuck the Condor at Clipper games started doing stuff behind the basket, the other team could have him Chuck tossed. That's what makes the difference.
It's kind of nonsense.
Yeah, deal with it, Devin.
Soft.
Deal with it, Devin.
Right.
It is soft.
Soft. All right, this is the last one because it's the last one I have. Did you watch the original Dexter?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, it ended terribly.
That's going to make this really a bad question.
This is going to make it a really, really bad question. So yes. I'm done.
You're done with what? Well, how is the new Dexter? Is he still killing people?
It is. It feels like one of the first couple seasons again. I watched it and I finished it and it was great.
So it's Michael C. Hall and he goes around and he kills serial. He's like a serial killer.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, he kills people that do bad things, basically, yes.
Right.
Okay, hey, you got time for some breaking news here?
Yeah,
do it.
Bring it.
All right, Damian Lillard will undergo surgery on Thursday for an abdominal injury and will be out for a minimum of 2 months.
Wow.
So, I think that means he may be out for the year. There's a report that Paul George could be out for the year. This could swing the West back. If Portland,
you're right, John.
So we can get into that. If Portland and the Clippers both drop out, that's good news for all the teams that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 right now.
Yeah, it's going to get much less.
One of those being the Lakers.
Yeah. All right, we got that coming up. The bet about no overtimes, which I'm thinking about making again, John.
I think you should. It worked out so well for you the last time.
Going to roll the dice on that. Plus, Bergman claims he has a ghost in his apartment.
Excellent.
Don't claim.
Coming up, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.